So welcome, thank you for joining. My name is Steve Cronin. I'm the CEO and founder of Fifth Kind. In case you're wondering, Fifth Kind means to collaborate with aliens. So we are looking to the future. So today I want to start off with walking through, to begin with, what is the problem? Files are hard to find. Why do we spend all this energy on trying to create folder structures and conventions and taxonomies and tag data and all the rest of it? It's so we can make our lives easier. We want to find information. We want to share information. We want to be in a collaborative space. We want to make sure that you're not working on the wrong files. We're not wasting time and looking at the right version or building the wrong product or dropping the wrong model in a trailer or whatever that may be. Getting access to the right information. So, you know, should you see the legal status of a file versus the creative status of a file? So, a lot of control around making sure you're seeing the right file, the right users, the right information. A lot of different systems are out about. So, you know, right now, the traditional strategy is I have a daily system, I have a casting system, I have a script system, etc. There's a lot of fragmentation that comes with having many different systems that you now need to integrate, that you now need to, you know, security vet constantly. We're seeing a lot of what we call system fatigue. So which system do I log into to find that file again? And am I going to have enough searchability to actually find it? So there's a lot of frustration we're seeing now with many, many different systems. So of course, many different systems increase the chance of risk because now you've got multiple entry points that are affected. The productivity loss. You know, what we're seeing right now is, you know, tools like a Box or a Dropbox or FTP, we're really just using them, and even to a degree, Spera, because we don't have tools that make it efficient to attach large files through email. We will still collaborate a lot through email. We're sharing over here, but we're really collaborating over here. So part of our goal is how do we make our system more powerful to collaborate through us than just, I'm going to share you a file and keep collaborating over to the side. And of course, the money wasted. When I can't find a file, I'm just going to recreate it again. I'm working on the wrong file, I've cut the wrong trail, or I've made many mistakes. So for the last 18 years, we've been analyzing how information flows around a production, around the studio. What's the ripple effects of when statuses change or when scenes change, etc. So that kind of kicked off this analysis. So what is the types of files that we're tracking throughout the different phases of the process? What are the types of metadata? How does this information flow from one group to the other? And so in this analysis, we're taking a more holistic approach to how do we unify every piece of data and every single file across your whole organization? And then I'll show you some of the power that can be achieved in doing that. But in doing that, we've got to be really responsible for the creative process. So we can't just throw a whole bunch of technology at it and think it's going to solve itself. We need to be able to engage the different types of users in different roles. So part of our goal is to get as close to the point of creation as possible. So if we can get the creator engaged and ingesting, then it's going to be even more enriched with accurate information and additional information. But we've also got to allow you to create these walled gardens. So when do I want to release it up to my production designer, up to my director, up to the studio, to my VFX supervisor, etc. So in creating a system, we have to be aware of the political and the other creative elements that are required to allow work in progress material to go into a system and make sure someone's not going to look at it when they're not supposed to. And of course, all of our external licensees, vendors, platforms, and all my other divisions within my studio. So you know, probably one of the best examples of this is Marvel. We've been working with them since the inception of their studio, and they built the studio around the product. So we've been able to unify a lot of different type of systems and a lot of workflows into one application, and we're starting to expand that out to the other studios. A huge component, of course, is the user experience. And 3 years ago, we actually stepped back and we completely rebuilt the system from scratch. And so we found that we were building a lot of functionality, but everything was kind of presented all at the same time. So we said, how do we build an experience that's executive proof? That I've got that one and click apply. That I can, I can have a lot of functionality, but maybe presented in a way in smaller bytes or, you know, adjusted to sort of your role. So we have our Apple TV apps, our mobile apps, our desktop apps, and, you know, it's all about creating a unified experience, making it familiar, making it fast. You know, all of the kind of experiences we've become accustomed to with these consumer-facing apps, you know, how do we bring all that technology to this space? And so we, you know, look at ourselves and we look at you know, how these kind of big companies with massive scale, how they implement these technologies, and so we're borrowing those best practices and bringing them to you. So workflow. So it's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to put a file in the system. That's great. It's an archive. Maybe you'll find it one day, maybe you won't. But really, to me, what I've realized is workflow is about combining the right user experience with the right orchestration. So by that I mean, if I'm doing a review, am I sending you a dailies? Therefore, I want you to say, potentially, go straight to that file. I want it to autoplay. I want to hide who all the other users are. I want to automatically go to the next file. If I'm sending something to an approval, what type of approval am I looking for? Is it legal? Is it creative? Is it technical? So what we're building is in one system is what we call contextual experiences. You know, a lot of people have thought you can't support every workflow in one system. But if we can define the context of what workflow you're trying to achieve, we can actually present the right interface for that experience. So we're seeing a lot of power in doing that, in guiding people towards the actual workflow. So for example, on a search, so you'll see you've got your faceted components here on the left-hand side. So how do we make it nice, big, visual? I've got all this metadata that I'm tracking. How do I get access to that really easily? How can I leverage that to find the files I want really easily? When it comes to reviewing, how do I make sure it's that nice, like get me to full screen, give my watermarking, minimize the noise, you know, give me quick access to all of my different panels, all my different functionality. Make sure when I click that link in my email, it's going to go straight to that file, it's going to play, and make that unified across my mobile apps, my Apple TV apps, etc. Then when it comes to things like approvals, so when I'm, like I said a moment ago, giving you an approval, I can have different experiences based on what I'm trying to achieve. So in this case, I've actually sent someone a request for a legal approval. So in, under legal, I have these three statuses with those particular colors. So when someone's making a decision, I'm now making a decision with more context. I'm saying this is legally approved or creatively approved, or you know, even though it's creatively legally approved, can I use it for the event Comic-Con? Can I publish it to Facebook? So this idea that a file has many, many different statuses is a huge component of our system.
Steve?
Yeah?
Can you tell me what that, I can't read what that says.
Which part?
That.
This bar? So it says approval's legal, and it says approve, maybe, reject. Sorry, a little bit blurry. And so those options that are presented to you, you know, what statuses you want, you know, what values are they, what colors are they, they're all completely customizable by you. So maybe you want to be effect status, maybe you want a publishing status, it's completely customizable. And so when you're sending out these contacts, the files now have all this information connected to it. So cool things we can do now based on access controls is I could say you can view everything, for example, in Iron Man 1, as long as it's creatively approved but not legally rejected. So if I set that rule at the beginning of the production, maybe on the marketing division, and you're not having to necessarily go down into the production to extract information, as statuses change, I'm now exposing it up to the marketing team. I'm now triggering a notification. I'm now, you know, part of this orchestration component of workflow. So another example, a different type of approval, is talent approval. So when I do photo kills, a slightly different presentation, a very similar thing to an approval, but the experience is, in a photo kills pipeline, you don't do approved, reject, maybe. It's a kill decision. And the people have a contractual obligation as to how many photos they're allowed to kill. So in defining this share of saying, this is talent approval, or this is a legal approval, we're able to adjust the user experience and present a streamlined tool that again makes it more effective to collaborate. Another example is distribution. So what we've built is essentially like a Gmail for assets. So you have an inbox. This inbox is a collection of files that's sent to you with a specific set of permissions, specific set of users. And so say, for example, the majority of your directors or your vendors or your external partners, they just have this inbox of, here's all the stuff I've sent to you to review, here's when it's due, here's a start date, here's an end date, maybe I'll restrict it, you can only view it one time, is it downloadable, if it's downloadable, is it downloadable with a watermark, without a watermark, forensically, is it images, videos, documents? It doesn't matter to us what type of file it is. We're going to try and visually create an index of everything that you've ever generated and give you the tools to orchestrate the distribution, the approvals, the collaboration. So, you know, in a traditional folder structure, you might see something like this. You know, here's the production, Freddie Joe, under VFX, here's some sequences and shots. Oh, thank you. And some asset types. And then under art department, I might have my sets and, you know, some concepts, design, etc. So what we're talking about when we talk about taxonomies versus folder structures is really about understanding what each layer of the structure is. If you just label something concept, you don't really know, you know, you can't get that consistency. You know, do you want to call it concepts? Do you want to call it concept art? Do you want to call it research? Do you want to call it development? It's about also getting uniformity around how we classify information. How can we all agree on how we want to categorize so that we can all find that information again? But by creating a taxonomy and understanding what actual each layer of the structure is, it's more than just a blob, a piece of text. It's a key and a value. And when I have that key and the value, there's all sorts of cool stuff we can do. So if we dive one level deeper into, say, the data analysis of the production, you know, we have all of these different physical and virtual concepts of how we tag information, whether that be starting off with the scene and the story location, or we might have a physical location, the set, the sequence, the shot, the characters. All of this has a relationship to each other. And a very common problem is, say, for example, the art department doesn't really know what visual effects sequences or shots relate to their particular set. But through our system, you can see here that shot 70 is going to be part of this sequence and it's going to be part of this set. So if I'm looking for this set, I can quickly and easily find any related visual effects assets or other department assets. And also allowing me to take any arbitrary other data. So fundamentally what it's about is not only the relationship between files and the metadata, but what's the relationship between the file and the file, or the metadata and the metadata. So say, for example, a trailer, it's made up of many different shots, and those shots are part of a cut. So that cut tells me that this trailer was made up of all these clips. So there's a parent-child relationship between those two, or it's a 3D model and a texture. That relationship might be a little bit more deeper. There might be a dependency there, but that texture is required for that 3D model to function. There's also a layer that we're improving called a force dependency. So maybe when you download the script, that I force the legal contract to come download along with it. So by understanding and having these frameworks of how data is structured, how data is related, how the files are structured, and how these relationships all come together, we can do cool things like this. So I'm going to create an access rule and leveraging a combination of manual tags, embedded metadata, AI, sidecar files like an ALE or a CSV, I'm going to create this rule. So I'm going to start off with, I'm going to limit you to data from a particular production. I'm also going to exclude anything that's a circle take. So when you're on set and you're deciding, is that a circle take or not? You're actually making an access control decision. So if we're carrying that metadata all the way through from set, you know, into the next lab, into a color front, and that information is being published directly up into our system, all those access rules automatically apply. So if you have access to view anything that's a circle take, bam, as soon as that data comes in, you can see it. Now, leveraging some of the AI components, we might automatically exclude anything that contains nudity. Based on audio analysis, we could exclude anything that contains swearing. So leveraging these different components of data, we get this automation, not only controlling what files you can view, but what you can edit, do you get an email notification, and we're extending this model into our tiered storage approach. So maybe you want circle takes to stay on disk, primary disk for 30 days, non-circle takes, purge them out after one day. So more intelligence, again, around, you know, cost savings even on storage. And because everything in our system can be a tag that can be controlled to orchestrate access and other things, I could even limit your access to files at 12 frames a second. So again, think of every piece of data, no matter where it lives, can be leveraged to control what you can see and view. Then when it comes to programmatically being able to automate and orchestrate my pipeline, we have all the APIs. And so in this example, we have an event that says, if a tag that is created or modified for a VFX shot that is approved, execute a transcode with color front, when the second event sees that a file is created, that is a crude VFX shot and now it's a set of frames, execute a transfer with the Sparrow. So basically what this means is you can take any file, user, or tag when it's created or modified, filter it down to a set of metadata, you can connect that to a module with a set of properties. What that means is we can automate and orchestrate without having to write code. So for example, when a VFX shot is approved, maybe I want to trigger a transfer or a transcode. Or maybe when a scene is removed, I want to trigger a notification. So this orchestration is what's going to help you automate your whole studio. Because every single change that occurs, a status change, a new file, a deletion, a scene change, maybe a change in shotgun that the shot is now approved, published into our system, all of these decisions, when unified into our meta framework, can then be orchestrated. So an example of this is what we use within our own pipeline. So when a file comes in, we make sure, how do you make sure you're looking at the right version of a file? We're going to trigger the transcodes. We're going to create multiple resolution proxies. We're going to pump it off to Glacier or cold storage so everything's backed up cheaper. We're going to do speech-to-text analysis on your audio and your video, give you all the dialogue, throw it through translations, help you automate your subtitling, do visual analysis, facial detection, object detection, etc. We're going to make it streamable out through an Akamai CDN. We've got desktop panels. We just introduced at NAB our Premiere panel, and that'll be extending into the Adobe suite. For distribution, etc., we have Sparrow integrated, so all of your uploads and downloads get UDP acceleration. And then we have our pillars of metadata. But one example I want to give you, which is pretty cool, is say, for example, we have what we call inherited metadata. So this is an example of a relationship between metadata and metadata. So the character Iron Man is the actor Robert Downey Jr. So if I upload a photo of Robert Downey Jr., and we do that facial detection, we know that's Robert Downey Jr., but you inherit the fact that he's Iron Man. So now the file is now searchable both as Iron Man as Robert Downey Jr. But if your access control said you can view anything where the character is Iron Man, you automatically see that file. So that's where really understanding the connective tissue of how all of these pieces of information connect and drastically orchestrate your pipeline. So in summary, what it comes down to is getting consistency around how you organize your information. So that, like a Marvel, since they've been there since day one, we've had a taxonomy. If you join a Marvel show today, the data is structured in exactly the same way it was 10 years ago, and you'll find stuff that, the reuse factor of Marvel is, they save 1.5 million in production right now, but a third of that's a reuse of assets. And so this ability to go in there and get a 3D model, or a LiDAR scan of a fighter jet, or a panning shot of New York, or a VFX element, those things are all there. The searchability, so being able to ensure that when the data is tagged right, I can find anything across my studio of millions and millions of files, within my department, within my production. Maybe I want to view all the concept art that ever existed, or just the approved concept art, or any combination of data that may exist. The programmability. So like I showed in the previous example of being able to orchestrate and automate movement of data, emails, SMSs, whatever you can think of. The automation to be able to not only streamline how you get information out, but how you work with your external partners, your vendors, your post house, etc. The access management. So this is a really unique component of our system, is leveraging data to control who can see what. A traditional folder structure is putting a lot of dependency on the person uploading to really control who should see. So what we're doing is removing that from the ingested. We're saying, define what it is, and based on your role, what should you see? And so even before a single file in the system exists, you can define a role that says you should view everything that's art department in this production, or you're in marketing, or you should only view approved assets in marketing. So that as data comes in, you're gonna see what you're supposed to see. And then of course the ROI components about being able to, again, unify the amount of systems you have. The unification of data into one system is gonna allow you to make more informed decisions so that if you're doing your magazine publishing, as well as your talent approvals, those information's all sitting in one system. You're not having to kind of integrate and move all that data together. So yeah, in summary, we're focused on contextual experiences, streamlining the whole studio, and making your lives easier. So open up for a couple of questions, just got a couple of minutes. Okay. Any quick questions?
So how many people are actually allowed to tag the assets in that?
Well, you can control who can upload and therefore who can tag. You could say who can also edit. So maybe you're someone who can see everything within production A, but only VFX assets you can edit within that production. So you've got all the controls to choose what you can view, what you can edit based on every single tag across the system.
So with that, what have you found is the right way to engage in quality control so people aren't going willy-nilly and off-brand and how things should be?
So you can control which fields are editable by the user and which ones are not. So say, for example, the list of productions, not editable, so you can't go and create something that doesn't exist. Or my list of asset types. Do you want to classify it as a concept or concepts or concept art? You could fix that list so that the user is forced to choose from a defined set of standards of how you want to classify information. And some fields might be editable, so maybe the sequences and the shots you allow the user to create because they're more specific to their production, but there's other tags which are more shared across the whole studio that you lock down. Anyone else?
Are you looking at integrations with other tools that are where the people are creating information?
Right? Absolutely.
So that they're just automatically in your system and not requiring conscious. Mm-hmm. I've saved it, now I'm going to add it.
Yeah, so what's interesting about our system is you could treat us as your metadata source of truth, even without a single file on our system. So all that data that's being collected on set through a sync on set or a synchronize or a scripty or whatever it may be, all that information, we're also working with like the sim guys because Jesse there's trying to unify all that on set data and give us one blob of here's everything that's on set, bam, like blast that into the system. Integration's like a shotgun, like as the shot status changes, bam, publish that into our system and trigger orchestration. So we very much want to be connected to the ecosystem, and that will continue to grow as we go. But especially all the onset data, that's not our world, but we'll definitely work with the onset tools to unify the data. Cool. All right, thank you everybody, have a great day.